Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Mein Name ist Tim Sänger und ich begrüße dich zu einer neuen Folge des Investor Stories Podcast. Erfahre von anderen Investoren, wie sie gestartet sind und welche Erfahrungen sie auf ihrem bisherigen Weg gemacht haben. Lass dich von ihren Geschichten, Strategien und Vorgehen inspirieren und schreibe deine eigene Investor Story. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zurück zum Investor Stories Podcast und heute ist es endlich soweit. Wir sind zurück aus der etwas längeren Sommerpause. Das liegt daran, dass ich doch privat wie beruflich etwas sehr eingespannt war und kann auch immer mal wieder so vorkommen. Jetzt sind wir aber da und haben eine pickepacke volle Ladung neuer Folgen für euch. Angefangen mit diesem tollen Interview, wo wir den CEO von Ventus Energy, Henrys Janssons, dabei haben. Diese Folge wird von Ventus inhaltlich sowie finanziell unterstützt, ist aber wirklich eine sehr, sehr spannende Firma, wo ich ihn jetzt mit meinen Fragen löchern darf. Und ja, ich freue mich sehr auf das Interview mit dem CEO von Ventus Energy. Viel Spaß. Hi, Henrys, how are you doing?
Hi, Tim. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you on the Investor Stories podcast and do a little deep dive on Ventus Energy, your company. Maybe not everybody is familiar with it, as it's a rather small company from the Baltics. And if you are not too far in the P2P lending space, you might not have come across it, but it's definitely an interesting one. So maybe as a short introduction, could you tell us a few words about yourself and then maybe about what is Ventus Energy?
Okay, so about myself, I come from finance background. So since childhood, I remember I was 3 years old, and then my parents gave me a present, pink calculator. This is, I remember vividly, pink calculator. And my father at the time, he had a meat shop, like specialized meat shop. And I asked him like, I want to work with you. How can I help you? And he said, well, I need economist. And I asked how much money they make. They made around 500 euros in 1992. I said, oh my God, 500, so much. I can buy so many Legos, you know. So I want to be an economist. And then my father said, well, then you need, you know, understand mathematics. So then I started focusing mathematics, went to the best, school, got in the best school in Latvia that teaches mathematics. And then we had very nice classmates, and we organized a parent come to work day. And one of the parents worked in PwC, and they said, what auditor is doing? And at that time, my father's shop already went bust. It was, the supermarket chains got in, and so specialized meat was not anymore needed. All right, but so I still liked mathematics and the business as such, but I didn't know what to do. And then I really like this idea about big auditor firms, because they go to big companies and they really deep dive and check, drill to inside. So in the numbers, how the business works, everything. And I thought, okay, I will do this because then I understand which industry is the best, how they make money, and then I can do my own thing. And then in order to get in this big four, the easiest way was through Stockholm School of Economics. That's like the best also in the region, university. Then I got in there, and then before I joined Big Four, my course mate joined Big Four. He said it's not so good, not as in pictures, to say politely. And another course mate joined then IT company that's doing business intelligence and data warehouse. And he said, there you really have to go into very, very details, to compile all the data, make presentations, everything. And then I went there without knowing anything about IT. And then I was a business analyst and everything. And from there, I got to work with some fintechs. I mean, worked with a lot of industries, insurance, forestry, you name it, telecommunication, like all the big ones, and also some fintechs. And then the company, but that was my client, at some point they called me and said, hey, can you come, in evening, do some extra work, for extra pay? I said, no, sure. And then after some months, I said, maybe you just pay, I come work here and you just pay me normal salary. I don't want work overtime anymore. And then I moved, switched the companies there, and that my journey in fintech started. And it was Mogo, it's called now Eleving Group. So in the group company where all those countries are, and I was head of business intelligence, so controlled all the reporting for all the big group. And I know that there is money through Mintos, so I understand how peer-to-peer works, and you know the different rates for the lenders, for the, you know, for the investors. And from there, I moved to very small this company, Al Finance, which also had peer-to-peer in mind, called Do Finance. And then me and Poms, actually, yeah, my marketing guy that I'm still 10 years together, as employees, we made this peer-to-peer platform together, designed how it works. So that's how my journey started. And then, you know, at some situation changed, something I wanted a break from this. I could not agree with the shareholders of that time of this Alpha Finance and Do Finance how to handle, you know, how to make the product. And then I'm the person who, if it's not my way and you cannot explain why it is not, you know, your way, it is evidence, right? Then I just go. I cannot, if I think something is not right, then I cannot stay. So I left. I worked then 2 years in Credit Reform, which is also a company from Germany, but they have branches here in Latvia. So they work with companies and credit worthiness checks and everything. And there is, you know, this. So I understand how to collect money. So before I was, you know, getting investors' money, you know, lending, but now I work also with debt collection, how to get it back when it's, you know, that side. And then I was invited to join Debitum as CEO. Then we had the shareholder change, and I also got bought a, you know, share in Debitum. But then when it was decided they will focus on forestry, then again, for me, it was not interesting because I don't own any forestry companies, and there is not much money to be made for me. Also, I could not, you know, make these products that I want because, you know, everything has to be there. And then so I quit. And it so happened that Jānis accidentally called me because he also wanted to, you know, put this energy in the Debitum at that time. And then he called me. I said, well, you know, not going to happen, unfortunately, and I'm leaving. And I said, well, let's meet. So we met, and I think within 2 hours we got that we are more or less on the same page. We agree how to make this product, you know, what's important, what's not important, how to make it transparent, you know, all these things. And then we all, after 3 months, we basically launched a new platform. It's doing quite well. And the new platform, Mentos Energy, so it is very focused. So we do not finance any third parties. We just raise money for ourselves. So it's our projects. And they are all in energy sector. So it's heating. So and heating is basically up hot water, the product is. And we are selling this to district heating operator. So we're not selling directly to the households or, you know, to commercial clients. We are selling to the district heating operator, which then distributes to the, you know, households and commercial users. Second is electricity. And for electricity, there are different markets. One is electricity exchange called Nord Pool in the Baltics. There is grid balancing, which means if there's shortage of electricity, we can produce more. If it's too much, we can switch something off. So these are the main things. And of course, then how you can produce the electricity is solar parks, wind parks. Also with batteries, you can buy cheaply, sell high, right? And in cogeneration plants, you can use gas motors, or you can also use wood chip. Wood chip is basically small pieces of bricks that you burn, right? That creates heat, hot water, but it also can, there's technology that you can from this heat get out electricity. So and there are some more that like coal, but we don't use coal because it's more American thing. And there is nuclear also, but it's more French thing. Yeah. Like France is full of nuclear power plants.
Maybe to put on the brakes a little bit, it is an amazing well, you have an amazing CV, like you can really see like the whole development of the P2P industry in your CV, being at one of the big loan originators, and there's a connection to Mintos. You have been at two different other platforms as even the CEO, and now maybe, and that's like the big difference, Mintos Energy is not directly a lending platform itself, but it's more of an energy company, or a combined energy, heat and electricity company. where you invest into energy projects, being like this combined heating and power generating units, but also solar and wind, and potentially other forms of electricity. And that's more of like the main core of the company, but you use these direct lending experience that they had in the past to finance the business, and with that money, like not going through a platform, but directly raising the money from investors via your own platform to then acquire these projects. Is it correct like that?
Yes, exactly. We actually consider us as an energy company, and we are. We really own these power plants, and this also is very, if you compare, I'm not saying anything bad about other platforms, right? But if you compare this to, let's say, consumer loans, right? You will never see those end borrowers, and you don't want to see them. Trust me, I have been working in a company that you don't want to see them. But with us, it's very simple when people challenge us, but are you really buying, or is this, real? You can go in the commercial register in Latvia, it's for free, in Estonia it's for free, in Lithuania I think it's not free, it costs like €5. And you can check that we really own these power plants, yeah? And some, of course, we are building. There is not much to see, you just see balance sheet maybe, right? But those that we buy operational, they have been running for 5-10 years. You see that it's not, it's very easy. When somebody says, but you are, maybe doing something, well, just go and check. It's very simple. But also one more thing regarding this is that since we don't see ourselves that much as a platform, right? We're not an investment platform. We are an energy company. We are just using this technology. Also, we are not that much caring about this competition side, because platforms compare who will have, the lowest investment so that and most investor number, all this. I don't care. If I had one investor that covers all the projects, I will be very happy. Because I make money, so our income comes when we sell heat, right? The more heat we sell, the more profit we have because there's fixed tariffs, right? And electricity sales on grid balancing. And that's where we make money. We don't make money from the platform business. We don't charge customers. It's just funding source, and that's it. So we are, in that sense, some platforms say, but you have very little number of customers. Like we have 4,000 at the moment, right? So yes, but we have founded all the projects we wanted. So it's good. Yeah, so what, right? And our, minimal investment is €1,000, which is a high number, right? So we don't get a lot of customers because, someone starts with €50 or €100. We don't get those. But since we have so little, actually, it's much easier, less costly to do customer service. Because, there's less emails coming in. Everything works because also we have the daily interest on our own venture energy, right? For the mezzanine lenders. And if you would invest €10, it wouldn't be impossible to credit you because it's just amount is less than zero. And then, then
and
there's
the projection where is my money? Would be too high if you have like a ton of small transactions, right?
Also, yes. So the database should be much bigger, right? So because and the bigger the database, the system gets slower, or you need to pay a lot of Amazon, right? To increase the power. And that's again costs money. So we went this way that it's like high barrier to entry, but we get the investors that are more into it. Many investors actually come visit us because they can invest 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, so they can afford to buy the ticket. That's like from Berlin to Riga, it's most likely €40 if you get cheap, right? So they fly, they go, they see how it's made, that it's real, everything. So it's they tell their story, why they like or what they don't like, and then we can, improve. And that's like really direct conversations, that we, speak at the plant or, at dinner table, it's different than in Telegram. But just finishing again, maybe a bit long. So of course, we still do some comparing between other platforms, and I would say we are not really the smallest anymore. So we have, from those platforms that I have been, we have, went past them like in 1 year. So that's not that bad. We have more than 50 million, I think 51 or 52 million outstanding. So not reinvested because, of course, investment platforms, they want to see the big numbers. And then they show, especially for consumer loans, every 30 days when the money is reinvested, it just goes, to billions, right? Like Twino says we have 2 billions or something, but the real portfolio is 35 or something millions. Yeah, so we don't need to do this, as I said, because we really don't care. We just care to finance, to buy the objects we want or to build the ones we want, and the money will come when we sell the heat and the electricity.
Yeah. Maybe it's good to dive a little bit about the core investment case. Why is it interesting to invest in energy assets in the Baltic states?
We started with the Baltic states because we knew the legal side. My partner Janis, so he has been a lawyer in the energy specialized field, and he is also chairman of cogeneration plant association for I think 15 years or something. So he knows all the power plant owners, he knows the legislator, he knows the district heating heads, all these. So we know very well how everything works, what we need to do, so there's no delay. We don't know, oh my God, there is some transaction cost extra that we didn't think. So that's why we start with the Riga. And secondly is in Riga, there was a big lobby for the gas, you know, when Russia was friendly sometime, you know. And they provided very cheap gas. So everybody was doing gas. And we are now switching. We are building the, you know, alternative. We are doing the biomass, which means wood chips as well. So we have mixed. We have a bit of gas, a bit of wood chips. So we have different technologies. So in case the gas price goes up, you know, we can still make money by, you know, using the wood chips. If other way around, you know, we are not like stressed. Oh, my God, now it's a big problem. Now it's okay. We are kind of all the time. We are not doing, you know, the peak performance of just, let's say, the gas, when the gas price was low, right? But we are, you know, doing very good on average. Because if one thing is expensive, then the second is cheap. And then that's why we started with Riga. And in Riga, there is still capacity to build, because Riga needs more power plants. It's also expanding from this commercial side. So they also need a lot of heat and electricity. Partner Janis, he had some permits that we can, you know, acquire now and build, because it's super costly to make. It's not that you, oh, wake up one day, I will now make power plant. It's actually many, many years and many millions to just get permit to build. And then you need to, you know, you have to buy a land. Then you have to, you know, all this. So it's not very easy to enter. So there's huge barriers, right, to do. And we are the largest private heat provider in Riga. And, you know, we are building few more. We'll be like, you know, significantly past the other competitor, which is some Swiss fund is also investing in this. But currently they are not expanding while we are, you know, buying more and more. So we should soon be like by high margin over them. And about electricity. So, you know, we disconnected from Russia. I mean, the Baltic states and Europe, they are not longer connected there. So Russia is not doing the grid balancing. And this is where we see our opportunity grid balancing, as I said, what it means is that every hour or every 15 minutes now, so the demand and supply has to be the same, because electricity cannot be stored in wires. I don't know if you remember, but there was a couple of months ago a problem in Spain.
Yep.
They were shut down because lack of electricity. Something happened. Some water park didn't move or something, and that's it. And there was just two big difference, and then you have to switch it off. So with Russia, of course, not doing anymore, you know, balancing it for the Baltics and for Europe, it just causes that you know, there's bigger fluctuations, and then of course you can make more money on these fluctuations. And
because you're basically arbitraging the energy price, like you have something in the storage system and then you put it out of the storage system.
Yeah, so this is
what
one,
you would
one
call
way of,
the balancing.
Yeah, so this would be one type of balancing. And this is where we want to push all our solar plus BESS projects, that they are doing this. But there are two more balancings. One is like you will switch on your power plant when there's a shortage, like mm-hmm. in Spain, and they give you a command and you have to do it in 30 seconds.
Okay.
So super fast, you have to switch on. And then they pay you like a lot of money. But it can be that it's switched off all the time, right? And the second balancing is downwards. Basically, you are working at some level and then they say, oh, now switch off. And then when you switch it off, then you get paid for being switched off, which is also nice. Yeah, so currently we are doing this switching on, switch off, because there is still some gaps in legislation. But at the end of this year, there should already be this one that you explained. There is just batteries, and then they, you know, take either to give or to take, right? So it will be combined in one, and then they pay you just for being attached. So basically, they pay a small fee every hour because you are live, and it might happen that they will tell you, no, I don't know, 300 hours per year out of 8,000 to switch on or switch off, but you have to do it immediately, right? So we are looking forward to that as well. And then also why this also wind and electricity is that these are green energies, right? And 5 years ago there was in Europe massive, everybody wanted green energy. So the governments, you know, gave a lot of loans, you know, these credits and guarantees for the loans, and many jumped who had different businesses because it's cheap money, like very cheap. So they jumped at the opportunity and built, let's say, a solar park. And this is like the real case that we actually bought in Valmier. We have a solar park already built. And the main activity for this guy, for the business, profitable, was cutting nails of the animals and horns. So nail and horn cutting for animals. And then he said, oh, but it's cheap money, I will build solar park. And since everybody built solar parks and everybody bought wind parks, what happens is that when there's sun is shining, all of them are producing. If all are them producing, it means the electricity price goes down, right? The same for wind parks. If there's all wind is blowing, that's it, right? It's very cheap. Now the solution is that you add batteries, so you like, if it's like cheap, you store in batteries and then sell it later when it's high. But of course, now they are not making a lot of money, so the banks is not crediting them anymore. And government says, no, we don't need this. That's it. Yep. Program is over, right? So we can get very cheaply because those, you know, they suffer losses sometimes even, right? And they want to sell them. So we can actually buy them cheaply and then install batteries, you know, and then again make it profitable. The difference is actually more than... more than 10 times. Okay. It could be 20, and we looked at one project, it could be in the, you know, in very, also it fluctuates, right? But in some very good months, it can be, you know, 40 times more than just solar. Of course, the batteries cost some, also invest, it's investment, right? And not cheap, but you know, the difference is huge.
Yeah. So you develop also these projects. I guess it's also an important that you not just acquire simply the assets, but you also maintain, develop them, like you add like this battery storage solutions to these parks.
Yes.
Also for the heating, I think there's somewhere you installed a new boiler or something like that. So you are also upgrading your existing projects.
Yeah. So this energy industry is very old. You know, and then there's some, and usually there's not young people doing it. It's like old guys with, you know, old money. They have built and they are happy, right? They don't want to change anything, right? And we are looking for ways how to optimize. And as you mentioned, so in this powerhouse Jugle, which is the first one that we bought, it's already operational. It's already making ton of money. Like, it's very good. The owner was, owner of this power plant was one of the guys who, he was all the time in top 100 or top 50 with the most dividends paid out each year. So, but we found a new way. Not we, but I mean, we just look around what's in the market, what's in this. And we have one city in Latvia that was super good during COVID times when the energy crisis were, right? But they still maintained it to keep very price low because they had very smart technology. They had like water tank where they... like big, just really water tank, like this, yeah. With hot water, and then they are filling it with hot water using different technologies. So, say if the gas price is very high, they are using, they had this collectors on like on solar panels. From that, if the gas price is cheap, they use gas. If it's like it's too expensive, they can use wood chips, and they fill this water tank, and from water tank they sell to the district. Heating, and they always choose the optimal, the cheapest way how to fill in. And so this is exactly what we are now doing in this powerhouse Jugla. We are adding the electrode boiler because sometimes electricity prices is zero or even negative. An electrode boiler is like boiler at your countries at home. It's just, you know, a boiler, it takes electricity, and you know, you have hot water. Super simple, it does it in less than 30 seconds, so we hope it will be also ready for grid balancing when the time comes. But of course, we can use this ultra boiler only when the electricity price is super low, right? Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Then we have these gas motors that provide, you know, both, you know, with electricity and heat. And then we are adding, then we have this third technology, as I said, these wood chips, right? And then this all goes through this one water tank. And then we can have steady, you know, because district heating operators, you cannot like, this hour I will give you 40 megawatts of heat and next hour I will give you zero. Then they cut you off. You cannot do this. You have to be like, if you promise, then for a week you deliver all the time steady. So this technology and switching on, switching off, it takes some time sometimes. Let's say for gas engines, it's 15 minutes to switch on, right? For wood chips, it's even harder because it's like a fireplace. If you put it down, right, to start a new fire, it takes some time, right? So, and this water tank solves this issue. And so the valuation of the plant before these adjustments was 17 million euros, right? And now with the adjustments, we made this official valuation, it's 29 million. So it only cost us like some around 6 million to do it, right? So there's huge increase, right? So like invest 6 million, get 12, 6 more, right? In valuation. So this is, this is one thing that we did. And why we go both, we both acquire and both develop, because of course, when you develop, you get, you know, it's the cheapest one in the end. But until you develop, it's sometimes it's years, right? So in order to be able to pay interest rate to investors, we need to have operational power plants that generate cash flow now, because we need to pay interest now, not, you know, after 2 years. So that's why you do both all the time, a bit operational, a bit development, a bit operational, a bit development. And I'm very happy that we already, you know, finished. And we do very small developments. So we finished already and commissioned this BESS park in Jelgava, so the batteries. And that's already generating money. And we should finish also this year this solar park with batteries in Kuldīga, also one of the first projects. So it will be, you know, one, like basically in 1 year. And also the solar park in Valmier that was already built, we are adding batteries, it should be also finished this year, right? So, and then again, you know, we're working on this big project, Powerhouse Atlas, that will be a copy of this Powerhouse Jūgla, which is a big, you know, many million power plant. But we can do this because we have all these small ones or big ones, you know, operational all the time, you know, that covers the,
okay, cool,
you know, daily costs.
Yeah, the interesting thing is also, of course, you need to pay the interest, and the interest is quite substantial, at least as for the money you raise from investors on your website. So it started at 18%, now it's down to 16%, which is still very sizable. Though the yield comes not without a purpose, of course, it's a subordinated kind of mezzanine lending. So there is some risk involved because you're not in the first lien. Though, of course, you are above equity. But until now, like the primary source of cash for acquiring and like also financing the development of this project has been these mezzanine funds raised from investors. So could you maybe elaborate a little bit about the strategy in financing? Why can you afford to pay these high amounts of interest? And what is your strategy to also bring then your cost of funding down in due course?
Yeah, sure. I will divide this in two parts. So if we speak about operational power plants, they all have been bought together with senior loans, right? And the cheapest one was, we got 75% of the acquisition price with 2.9%. This was with state fund. Powerhouse Jūgla, which was the biggest one, operational, that cost, I cannot, not allowed to say directly, but let's say approximately 10 million. We only raised 30% with the expensive money, this mezzanine, and 70% was the senior loan. So average interest rate for those projects are way below 10. So we pay, for you, we pay a lot, but you are not secured. Of course, senior loan is secured with the, you know, all the pledge on shares, pledge on assets, all this maximum security what you can get, right? So this is for operational. So it's not that expensive if you look at operationals. For development projects, of course, we cannot get seniors because they want to lend when there is, you know, everything is built, there is cash flows, And usually I have spoken to banks, even recently, they said, well, about this best park in Jelgava, they say, well, 6 months stable cash flow, then we can, you know, talk. Then they will do, you know, everything. So our idea with these development projects is that we you know, build it, commission it, operate for 6-9 months, and then we refinance in a bank as much as possible, if not all, right? And for some, it will be we'll be able to finance all because, you know, it's cheaper to develop than to buy the operational one. So, and about the rates, of course, we looked what's in the market, and we needed to. So for us, the main important thing was to buy this powerhouse Jugla because this is our cash cow. It's operational. It generates steady around 400 per month after all the costs, right? You can pay interest out it. I mean, very, very important. And the price was very sweet. As I said, valuation was more than 17 million and the price we bought is around 10. So there's huge gap already in between that we can take. And this is not normal deal. So nobody usually sells for this price. Of course, the other power plants are more expensive, right? But this was just personal relationship, my partner Janis with the owner, because they were, you know, he was in this cogeneration plant. He often solved issues with regulator to him, and then he wanted to give this plan to somebody who will take care of employees, so we cannot fire the employees and make sure they understand everything. So that's how we got it. And since it was very important to build buy it very fast, because the seller wanted to say he wants out in 3 months because he wants to go live in Spain or something, and he is, you know, a pensioner, he's more than 65 years old, and he just wants to, you know, relax, right? So we needed to pay, you know, high interest enough so that we can attract quickly the funds. And also we had the cashback, right? So just to explain the cashback. So cashback was 5% and we needed 3 million euros, more or less, right? So 5% of 3 million is 150,000 euros. So even, let's say, if the cashback allowed us to raise the funds 1 month earlier than without it, just as example, right? And the power plant makes 350,000 to 400 per month. You can see there is mass. It's super simple. Yes, you will pay. I will pay 150 to get 350. I get 200 more, right? So this is how it works. It's not a random thing that, oh, we'll whatever spread some money, you know. So we are, you know, doing mass, Excels and everything. So it makes sense. But we are also, you know, it's okay that we share some part of our value with investors because, as I said, the gain is huge, right? And this is super important to do it. And now we can afford, you know, to start developments, buy more and more. So, yeah.
Yeah. Though it's, of course, still a quite sizable portion. So I have your first year of operations report open there for the end of August. It's stated at 43.13 million of capital raised through mezzanine loans that is outstanding. And you have 9 million of senior loans. And then there's a debt-free equity of 6 million. This has gone down, like the equity portion, from 11 million in July. Why is there the fluctuation in equity and... Yeah.
So the free equity is the value that is not financed by anything. Right? So there's liabilities, you know, and then there's no liabilities, free part of the company. And for the development projects, we want to do it, you know, as transparently as possible. So we are not adding this extra value before the company is operational. So all these development projects are eating up this equity, but we have not done valuation of what is this value of the project.
So it's more like a net asset value view, what yes, you consider yes, here yes. as equity. It's not like the balance sheet equity, but more of like a net asset yeah, value if yeah. you deduct all
yes.
the...
Okay. Yes. If somebody costs 10 million and we have, you know, loans for 5 million, that we say we have 5 million excess value. For the best Jelgava park, we have not have valuation. For the solar park cooling, of course not. For the Valmier, we need to do new valuation because we have added batteries and so on. So once we have done it, of course, that will increase this number again. But yeah, so it just We should have this monthly cash flows because the valuation will look at what's in the company, like the assets. Like, okay, so there is batteries, the battery market value is this, but they also look like on the business, how much business generates. So there's two inputs. And without the cash flow part, it's, you know, it will be wrong, right?
Yeah. But it will be, I guess, very important at one point to refinance all these development projects then with senior capital to first reduce interest costs and also get a more ideal interest mix, I guess.
Yes, of course. We are. So this is the goal for this year, like for the to find to at least refinance one big project. And yeah, this is always have been the goal to, you know, start with expensive money, then go to the bank, refinance, as I said, because when banks see the cash flow, they're happy to refinance. They, you know, everything is built, they can put pledge on it, you know, they are comfortable. When it's, you know, just a building ground, you know, empty land plot, and you say, here is my Excel and here is my PDF with visualizations, they say, well, yeah, no, sorry, not funding you. So, but no, we are looking, we are also offering to refinance even those existing ones like Powerhouse Jugla, the Powerhouse Dambis, which have a lot of still have a lot of mezzanine investors, so we're working with this as well. Yeah,
and the refinancing is provided mainly by banks, or is it other like private equity, private debt players, or is it like traditional banks from the Baltic regions?
And so currently we have either private rich individuals or state fund. So okay, there are two options. So.
Okay, so it's not like standard banks being involved at this point?
At this point, no, but now we are already having meetings, sending, you know, presentations, all the, you know, what they request as valuations, cash flow reports, all these things we are sending now. And then let's see, we have not signed any agreement. Like, we have already paid for this first credit committee in one bank, so they are looking possibly to place 20 million, but of course it's not signed, so, you know. Okay. Maybe it will happen, maybe not, but at least there's some, you know, start figure on the table, which we are now discussing, you know, what are the terms on all this. So, and that's why also another thing is that we, as you see, we have very long these projects. So the idea is that, of course, we hope that we will refinance much sooner. I mean, it's been 1 year and we're already talking to the banks. Right, yeah. So maybe in 3 months we actually refinance something, but we put it, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe even 6 now. So that in case we do not refinance, then after this point, according to our calculations, we can refinance from generated revenue. We just repay steadily. And that's why we also, the question sometimes, why do you don't make just one big round Powerhouse Jugla or whatever, solar, wind in Lithuania, just one, you know, because we also split these repayments over months, because then, you know, if you would have to repay 3 million in 1 month, it's a bit hard. But if it's, you know, 500,000, you know, in 6 months, it's much easier, right? It's you know, less stressful. You know, you have more time to, you know, find, refinance, all these things. So that is reason why we put very long terms at the moment. But of course, it could be easily that we refinance sooner.
Okay, and then it's basically upon you, the borrower's decision when you can like terminate the agreement once you have found the sufficient refinancing option.
Yeah, we have option to repay early.
Yeah,
but so far, as long as we stay within the Ventus Group and we don't sell any part of business to somebody, because this is also an option. If somebody offers, you know, the competitor, let's say in Riga, they want to the Swiss fund, they want, you know, pay us double. We are very happy, right, to sell. And of course, then they would repay you, right? That's how it would work. But for the part that we can and we will control is that we'll still, you know, if the agreement was for 4 years, let's say 1 year has passed, then we will not try to cheat or something that, okay, now it's, you know, 5% lower interest rate. So no, we say, okay, we are repaying. You can choose if you stay, convert to another project and keep, you know, like competitive rate rather than this. Because I see that in the peer-to-peer business, we have platforms that, you know, put very good offer for 2 years, and then in 2 months they repay, and then you have to invest in 6% lower yield, right? And then you're stuck with decision to take money out or to go cheaper, right? So,
well, you give also some flexibility to the investors, giving them the option to also have an early exit. So maybe you could explain how that works.
Yeah, so... 5, 6 years, even 40, that's like very long time. And then investors, I know, as I said, more than 10 years in industry, they want this liquidity. So this early exit is the basically a liquidity provider. So if you have invested, but you now you want to buy a house, you know, get married, want to, you know, go on your honeymoon vacation, you need money now, then you have option to put this request early exit, and then if some other investors will invest, or even let's say we have, you know, some senior investor who wants to take some part, you know, then we can do repay you, and then you get the money out. But it of course depends on market demand. We do not promise that it will be repaid earlier, but so far the fastest early exit was 1.4 seconds. It was the fastest. The longest was I think 2 weeks, but it was 500,000 requested. So it's a very big, quite a big chunk.
Certainly,
yeah. That's not regular peer-to-peer investors amount, right? It's substantial. So as long as there's market demand, it works. But we very openly say that this is, you know, we don't guarantee.
It doesn't bring you into an insolvency risk because it's just a secondary between investors or even you taking stepping in.
And this is another lesson I learned from my experience at time at Do Finance. Also, the management was guaranteeing this early repayment, which I told it's impossible. How can you do if there is, I mean, there could some things happen and, you know, COVID happened and they could not do it. So they went almost bankrupt, right? And this is exactly what I thought might happen. So I'm very happy that I left before it happened, a couple of years, but still I see some influencers are saying, no, you are the, but that's fine.
Speaking of risks, maybe, what would you think are the biggest risks for Ventures as a company?
So definitely what we discussed is refinancing is. So we need to change mezzanine into to the banks, to the institutionals, to the funds. So this is one risk. Then of course the energy prices, right? Heating has never gone down in tariffs, but I mean, if you know, like in stock market, you cannot maybe look at past that much, but I mean, there's this, anything can happen, but that's why also we are kind of to minimize these risks. Let's say for the first one, we are minimizing refinancing risk. But as I told you before, is that we make this very long terms. So each month we have to repay, you know, 500, 600, 700, not millions in 1 month. So that's the way how we handle this, manage this risk. Yeah. For this fluctuation in electricity prices or heat prices, that's why we do everything, solar, wind, batteries, heat. And we have different technologies for each of them, right? And for instance, if let's say electricity price go down significantly, it's like zero or negative all the time. Yes, wind parks will not make that much money, yeah. But since we have, you know, this electrode, but we'll make able to make, you know, heat for free or making paid, so it's kind of, it will balance it out a bit. So that's why it's crucial for us to have a bit of everything, right? And we are growing this portfolio like slowly with everything, so that in case one sector does poorly, it means another one will be doing very well, right? And vice versa. It's so this is how we minimize. Then in general, there is of course geographical risk, right? We are close to Russia. It's always, you know, since 90s, it's always, you know, oh, you know, they're not the friendliest neighbor, to say the least, right?
It's a risk you can't really control yourself, right? It's just an inherent thing, and you have to be comfortable in being taking that.
Of course, but I mean, we can pay. I mean, we pay taxes, right? So the tax money goes to the NATO and all these things. So I mean, that's the way how we control. And then, of course, there's the risk of high interest rates. Yeah? So because we are energy company, but we compete with peer-to-peer platforms. In this capital raising, at least for the mezzanine, and then of course, if something goes crazy, everybody starts, you know, giving very high. We have to adjust, right? So we have to pay higher interest rate just because other platforms are paying higher, right? So as you said, we now are at 16, but I see some, you know, even Debitum, you know, 16.5% pays now. Afranga pays 16 already. So there's, you know, a lot of guys that pays a lot as well. So if that somehow changes, that is also a risk, right? And then, again, this is also why we don't do what's at once. This is how we minimize that risk, is that we don't do many projects at once. We do two or three, you know, we buy, we acquire, let's say, done, and then move to the next project. So it's not that we have, you know, 25 projects open and then, you know, something happens, we cannot get financing and they're all lost. We try to, you know, just three at once. We finish those three, then we go to the next ones, you know, and so on.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, maybe also a look into the future to round things up. What is your long-term vision for the company, and what are your plans for the future, where to take the company next?
Our goal is to move past Baltics. We get actually offers, and some investors work in energy field. And then they send us, okay, if there is solar park in Spain or battery park in Italy, but they are very large projects. So at the moment, you cannot afford to enter 100 megawatt project or 200 megawatt, because that costs, you know, exactly the same amount in millions. So, and for that, we need this, some institutional money straight away. And this is why we created also a separate entity, which is this investment fund, right, which is targeted to attract, yeah, this institutional capital, family offices that, you know, want to, they will not use platform at any point. They want to clear the structure, and this fund is structure they understand, how it's legally, how they're protected, you know, what are the terms. So we are preparing for that. And of course, it's very important that we, you know, start, you know, finish our development projects. We want to be the, as I said, fully the rigger. So we'll have soon this first waste burning plant in Latvia, which is again cool. Then we have negotiation with second one. There is already some project, you know, developed for many years that's not finished, but it's, you know, paperworks are done and land has been bought, you know, millions have been invested already. So maybe we'll manage to buy that as well. You know, that will again allow us to make a lot of predictable revenue, right? And in waste management, so we have for the company that we already own, that should be, you know, launching early next year, if everything goes to the construction plan, we have already agreement for taking the waste. So in terms of gas or wood chips, we have to pay for wood chips. Like, so let's say in winter, wood chips cost 35 euros per megawatt, and we sell it for, let's say, 65. So it's, you know, okay, some operational cost, let's say 30 per megawatt is the profit. But with the waste, they pay you at the moment. So with the agreement we have is that they pay us 50 euros per megawatt that we take. Of course, you cannot just burn waste, then it will explode. Right? But so it's used together with wood chips, and then 25-30% of this waste. And then, of course, the mass is very nice, because, you know, you get 25% of, or 30 is minus 50, and then something with 25, then you know, the cost is lower, the profitability is much higher, right? So this is where we're looking also to be investing this and upcoming year.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds really good. I think I've covered everything I wanted to ask. It's a really interesting opportunity if you want to profit basically from the energy markets, basically uncoupling from Russia and the created disbalancing from that, but also put money to work in the real world by enhancing infrastructure, upgrading old facilities. I think it's quite a cool case, and it's also a quite rewarding one. At least now I can, for full transparency, I am an investor in some loans on Ventus, and I'm really looking forward on where the company is going next. I can highly encourage everyone to check it out. Link, of course, is in the description, or you click on investorminusstories.de/VentusEnergy. And the cool thing is the guys are really transparent. It's not only Henry's being here. He is also in the Telegram chat. They have a really cool statistics page on the website where you can in real time basically look into their portfolio structure and heating generation and electricity generation. So they issue various kinds of reports, so you can really dig in deep. You have a lot of technical descriptions on the projects, so that's definitely a cool thing, and it of course creates trust for investors. So definitely check it out, do your own due diligence, and thanks Henrys for being here and standing still for my questions.
Thank you, Tim. It's always a pleasure, and I really welcome everyone, not just to check it out, but also to come visit us. It's really in Europe, it's 40, 50 euros, you know, flight there and back to Riga. And yeah, just come visit us in office or the power plants, and it will be, you know.
Yeah, I can highly encourage to combine it with a holiday because the Baltic region is quite beautiful.
You also we have very good restaurants so, and cheaper maybe than in Germany. But yeah, so it's interesting to come and watch and see in person, understand how electricity works and what is heating. It's not some magic, but it's just hot water that falls into tubes and all this. So yeah.
Very cool. Thanks a lot and goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Das war's auch schon wieder mit dieser Podcast-Folge. Ich danke dir ganz herzlich fürs Zuhören. Wenn dir der Podcast gefallen hat, würde ich mich sehr freuen, wenn du ihn mit einer Bewertung auf iTunes unterstützt. Außerdem möchte ich dich gerne dazu einladen, der Investor Stories Community auf Facebook beizutreten. Hier hast du einen Austausch mit gleichgesinnten und professionellen Investoren, die selber ihren Weg in die Freiheit der Finanzen gegangen sind. Und von ihnen kannst du lernen oder auch selber andere Leute bereichern. Und zudem ist dort Feedback zum Podcast immer willkommen. Um ganz schnell dorthin zu gelangen, kannst du auch einfach investor-stories.de/community eingeben. Ich freue mich, wenn du auch beim nächsten Mal wieder dabei bist. In diesem Sinne, alles Gute, dein Tim.